He actually told me, Dad, I'm probably supposed to be done at 7, but sometimes I go longer. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I will do my best to shoot for 7 o'clock, though. I mean, I want to get to the ice cream, right? I mean, let's be serious, you know. There is a joke in the Herbster family that there are regular bowls of ice cream, and then there is a Herbster bowl of ice cream. And my dad has been known to walk out into the living room on family vacation with a heaping bowl of ice cream. We're just like, Dad, are you serious? He's like, oh, it's vacation, boys. And then we will turn away, and then we'll look back, and he's walking out with a second one, the same size. And I'm like, Dad. And my mom just, I don't know what to do. What do you do? So we do love our ice cream. I thought it was, I don't, maybe I was the only one that thought this was funny, but did you notice this morning in the announcements, they kept putting the ice cream slide up there when they had to switch back to something else on the ice cream slide. And, oh, no, that, not yet, the ice cream slide. I was like, I know what's on their mind, ice cream. Right? And tonight it happened again. I was laughing. I was like, that was great. So you want to get people to hang around for church, hang around after church, have ice cream, right? So I like it. That's good. Thank you to those of you that have fixed meals for us while we're here. I know we're the beneficiaries of Nathan and Karis having a baby, but thank you for fixing them food that we can enjoy. Had a meal last night and then had one this afternoon. Just that's a huge blessing, and I really appreciate that. And I know I'm a little biased, but I'm grateful for my daughter-in-law and the mother of my grandchild. We've prayed for many years that the Lord would bring just the right spouses for our children. We started praying actually before the kids were born. About that the Lord would bring them just the right one. And Nathan owes his older sister, because Sarah and Karis became friends at the Wilds, and then when Sarah went to college, Karis was there to kind of help her get acclimated and not forget everything that she was supposed to have with her. I have many stories of Sarah leaving things. I'll give you one quick one, okay? She was going to get a private lesson from the first chair violinist of the Boston Symphony. And she was halfway to her lesson and forgot her violin. She realized she didn't have her violin. I'm like, Sarah, are you kidding me? So anyway, we have many stories, but Karis was a help to her in that. So Karis would come to our house with Sarah and visit. And I don't know when it was, but at some point I looked at Tiffany and I was like, I think there may be something going on in Nathan's mind about Karis. And I think Tiffany at the time was like, oh, I don't know. You're just wishful thinking. I don't know. I'm just saying. So then at the end of the summer, right before Nathan was to go to Bob Jones University to start into college, we were driving down to the service at the camp. And Nathan's like, hey, Dad, you know, is there a time we're going to be able to, you know, get together and talk, you know, before we go to college? And I'm like, absolutely. We've got to talk about some things, get some things nailed down. And I was like, why? You got a girl in mind? I just kind of threw it out. It's dark. It's dark in the car as we're driving down. And then it's quiet after I ask that. And I'm like, well, maybe. And I think right then I said, is it Karis? Because, you know, I'm like, I was right. Yes. I get to go tell Tiffany I was right. You know, that doesn't happen very often. So I was excited. And he was like, well, yeah, I mean, I think so. I think there might be something going on. So at the Wilds in the evening services, they would have an orchestra that would play, and Nathan and Kara sat next to each other in the cello section. And so I credit the cello for having a part of this, of course, and Sarah, right? But we were thrilled and just so thankful for her family and for the blessing that it is to have a daughter-in-law that loves the Lord and loves ministry. I've been around a lot of guys who have married ladies who just did not want to serve in ministry. And I'm very thankful for her heart to be willing to do that. You know, it was even out there, she was helping mop up the water in the bathroom tonight. I was like, hey, good for her, you know. So, and that grandbaby is amazing. So it always somehow funnels back that way, right? So we had a good afternoon. All the kids were asleep in various positions on their living room floor, and I was just holding Ethan. And it was wonderful, so it was great. But thank you for your hospitality to us, your kindness, and for being a blessing to Nathan and Karis. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight, I'm going to give you just a little bit of the context, because what's happening here is Paul is taking a specific issue that's going on in the church. And he's going to address that specific issue with a general principle that all of us can learn from. Okay, does that make sense? So there's a specific issue going on in the church that Paul needs to deal with, but he uses a general principle that applies to more than just that specific issue. And it's that general principle that we're really going to focus in on tonight. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, start reading in verse 18, and you're going to see the specific issue really fast. Okay? Verse 18, he says, flee fornication. Okay, so there's the specific issue that was going on. There was sexual immorality going on in the church, and Paul is addressing it head on. And obviously, that could be a topic we could address in the church, the modern day church, and it'd be very appropriate, right? It'd be a very appropriate thing to deal with. We're not going to deal with that tonight. We're going to deal with the broader principle, but that is an issue that needs to be continually addressed in the church, probably more than ever, because of the access that people have to that kind of thing these days. But he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And now he's going to say, okay, well, why is that a big deal, that he's sinning against his own body? Verse 19, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Paul says at the start of the verse 19, this rhetorical question, what? I like to think that maybe if he was living in modern day America, he would say, are you kidding me? Huh? You don't know this? You should know this. Sometimes your kids, right? And you're like, are you kidding me? Why did you do that? What were you thinking, right? And Paul is saying, Corinthian church, you should know this. You should be able to know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so since your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, he says, you are not your own. How can he say that? Verse 20. You're not your own because, verse 20, you are bought with a price. Somebody, Jesus Christ, paid the price for your sin and purchased you, so you don't belong to yourself. Here's the way he's saying it. You're not in charge. You're not in charge. Somebody else has paid the price for your sin, and so your life is not your own because that price has been paid for by somebody else. You know, we live in a society, not just a worldly culture, but even a Christian society, where life more and more has become about our own needs and our own desires and my time and my stuff and taking care of my things. Instead of, as a Christian community, saying, you know what? If I've been saved, life isn't about me. It's about pleasing God. Remember years ago, I saw a t-shirt that a child was wearing. And it said, actually, this one was not a child. I saw it in the Nike store. I saw this shirt in a Nike store. And on the shirt it said, my way all day. And I thought, oh man, can you imagine your child wearing a shirt that reinforced the thought in their mind that they could get their way all day? I mean, how many of you said to your kids at least one time, the world does not revolve around you? And then you give them a shirt that says, my way all day, right? But that's kind of how we tend to think, right? It's all about me. As long as I'm taken care of, then everything's good. Years ago, we went to Disney World when the kids were really little. Why we went to Disney World when they were all that young, I have no idea. It was crazy. Matter of fact, my mom got everybody matching shirts. I was not happy. It's one thing for the kids to all have cute little matching shirts, but for Mark, Mike, and I, grown men, to walk around with matching shirts, I was like, Mom, seriously? Okay. Now, it did help us know where everybody was. Okay, but we walked in, and I'll never forget Julie and I looking at each other as we heard the music being played over the loudspeakers there in Disney World. It was cute, catchy music, as it usually is there at Disney. And they were playing this little tune. I just forgot it. Oh, yeah, I got it. In everything that you do, celebrate you. In everything that you do, celebrate you. And it would go little instrumental, then all of a sudden you hear it again. In everything that you do, celebrate you. In everything that you do, celebrate you. Wow, and so Julie and I are like, oh, that's horrible philosophy. I can't believe, you know, we should have believed it, right? I mean, this is Disney, but as we went to the parade, we started to go to the parade. About halfway through, I was like, let's leave the parade. And as we were walking away, I remember grabbing Sarah and Nathan, and we had been studying Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I said, okay, guys, this song being repeated over and over says that life is about you. And everything that you do, celebrate you. Celebrate you. How does that match up with Philippians 2? And it was probably Sarah. It's usually the oldest child that pipes up, you know, well, Daddy, the Bible says. I was like, yes, yeah, Sarah, thank you, thank you. But you know, it's so much ingrained in us. Our culture pushes this down our throats that if we're not careful, even as Christians, we start thinking, you know what, life is about me. Life is about taking care of my needs and my stuff and my time and my wants and my desires. You know what happens in a marriage? Husband starts saying, you know what, it's about me. Everything I do, I'm going to celebrate me. Wife starts saying, you know what? And you know what happens? Pretty soon you have conflict. And that's why the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I am fulfilling my role as a husband most when I serve the needs of my wife. I'm fulfilling my role as a dad most when I seek to serve and meet the needs of my family, not thinking it's always about me. You know, this happens in a church too. Hey, you know what? That didn't go the way I wanted it to, so I'm leaving. Oh, I didn't like the way that was handled, and so I'm offended at Pastor that he didn't do what I wanted him to do. Or it's so easy for life to be about us. It's so easy for us to not be willing to serve because we think life is our own. But life is not about you. It's not about me, right? Let's face it, every morning when we get up, we're tempted to think that life is about us. We're tempted to think, you know what, as long as things go my way today and I get what I want, da da da. And as a Christian, our mind needs to be, you know what, life is about serving God and life is about serving others. That's it. That's it. And God will take care of me and meet my needs. He says here, your life, the end of verse 19, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. That's our redemption, right? That's the idea of being bought out of the slave market of sin. Now we are no longer a servant to sin, but now we are a servant to obeying Jesus Christ, right? So we're still servants, just different masters. The master is not sin anymore. The master is now our Savior. And we serve Him. So we've been bought with a price. So, he says, therefore, since life is not your own, since you've been bought with a price, what are we to do? Glorify God. There's my focus. My focus is not, hey, look at me, notice me, watch out for me. My focus is, I want to do everything I do to the glory of God. Amen. Let's get really practical, okay? I start looking at Netflix. What am I going to watch? What am I going to put into my mind? I start pulling up YouTube. What YouTube videos am I going to watch? I start putting on my earbuds and pulling up Spotify. What music am I going to listen to? I start thinking about the way I treat people around me, whether it's my spouse or my family or coworkers. Or you could go on and on and on with illustrations. And the question becomes, do I do what I want? Because life is about me. Or since I've been bought with a price and life is not my own, do I seek to glorify God in those choices? Boy, I tell you what, it is so easy. It is so easy to get swept right up in the philosophy of our culture and say, well, you know what? If I want to do it, I'm going to do it. If I enjoy it, I'm going to enjoy it. And you know what? That is not the mentality that we should have as Christians. That'll be, Lord, does this glorify you? God, does this honor you? And if it doesn't, okay, I set it aside. But there's so many people that are going that way. It's okay. If it doesn't glorify God, I'm going to say no. Have you ever been at work, or there's some young people in here, maybe you've been around other young people, and they start talking about a show or talking about a song or talking about a movie, and they find out you haven't seen it or heard it, and they're like, what? Are you kidding me? Everybody has seen that. You know what? It's okay to not be everybody. Amen. It's okay to say, well, you know what? I just haven't. And you don't have to be, you know, a snob and say, well, God doesn't let me watch that. You know, you don't need to do that. But to say, you know what? That's just not something that I've watched, and not a big deal, and just kind of move on. But so often we feel embarrassed if we don't fit right in with what everybody else is saying or doing or thinking or acting. But your life is not your own. And so in every choice I make, it's not what do I want, it's what glorifies God. This is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, we are to do so much in our lives to please the Lord that our light shines right where we are, so people will be drawn to the glory of God. I was talking with somebody this morning. I don't remember who it was, and we were talking about how amazing it is to where God will place people, His witnesses, in different places and different walks of life, so that the light of the gospel can shine through His children. You know, your pastor, your assistant pastor, they don't have the opportunity to go be in the places that you are every single day. Their light can't go shine most of those places. But God has placed you right where you are to glorify Him. Do you know what Life Not My Own was about for my family? It was about us going to Hong Kong. It was like, okay, Lord, this is what you want us to do. Life's not about me. I belong to you. I want to glorify you. I know this is what you have called us to do. Let's go do it. But you know, for each of us, it's no different. It's not special for the missionary. It's not special for the pastor. Oh, God has His hand on that. He's a missionary. No. Wherever God has placed you, He wants you to make life not about you, but about glorifying Him so that people will be pointed to Him. Right where you are. You know, that's how this church gets filled up. That's how more people are drawn to Christ. When they meet other Christians that are pointing to the glory of God by the way they live. And that's why God has placed you in the places that He has placed you here in Manhattan, or whatever small city you're in nearby here. That's why He has you in the workplace that He has you in, so that you can minister and reach out to people and let your light shine. You know, in Hong Kong, where we live, we get to touch people's lives just about every day. And you never know, right? You never know how God will use an opportunity you have. But there are people in our church, they're going to touch even many more people's lives than that. And that is the beauty of the body of Christ, is that each of us can live this way. This is not a passage for the pastor. This is not a passage for the missionary. This is a passage that was going right to a church. Say, listen, people, don't forget. You don't belong to yourself. Life's not about you. So glorify God. You've been saved, so glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Him. So my challenge to all of us, to myself individually, to all of us, to Faith Baptist Church in Manhattan, is that we would say, you know what, Lord? Help me every day, starting tomorrow, starting tonight when you go home, right? Help me to not let life be about me. Help me to seek to serve others. Help me to seek to glorify God so that people will be drawn to the light of the glorious gospel. That's our mission, right? That's what God has called us to. Christianity is not a Sunday-only religion. right? Christianity is every day of our life. Biblical Christianity is every day living for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, I know that my heart has been challenged and stirred and reminded as we have looked at this tonight. I pray that you would help each of us, starting in our homes and then in the places you have put us, that we would not make life about us. We would seek to serve you, to glorify you, and to serve others. Lord, I pray that you will use each of the members of this church to shine as a light right where you have placed them here in this community in Manhattan. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for what it is committed to. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to grow it and fill it and use it in this community for your name's sake. Lord, help each of us to evaluate our own lives and be willing to change what we need to change in order to glorify and honor you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Help us to live our lives for your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for bringing Brother Matt, bringing his family here to remind us of this great truth. You are the one that is to be honored. And Lord, even during this invitation, it isn't about us. It's not about anyone here in the at the pulpit. Lord, it's about you, and we thank you that you are a God who takes care of us. And Lord, we ask that you would just work, and those who are here, may they be able to, by your grace, know your will, because they have sought your will, so that they might do your will. And I pray that you would work and bless us. For Christ's sake, with our head bowed, let's stand as the pianist plays. Maybe God is dealing with your heart and the Lord is speaking to you in a very special way. Maybe you'd like to just come and pray at the altar. Maybe it's time that you said, okay, I'm going to get very, very serious about the things of God. I'm not going to just be a once a week Christian, but I'm going to be a Christian that serves the Lord by His grace 24 hours every day. Now maybe there's someone here that you're hesitant to do that. But God is so good. He is always good. And if He has spoken to your heart to say, yes, Lord, I'll serve you, feel free to come and pray. In your seat, you can pray, and if God is dealing with you, say yes to Jesus.